Luke 11, verses 1 and 2. Luke 11, verses 1 and 2. This is our third lesson in what we call the School of Prayer, or Prayer 201. And the lesson title tonight is Focus on the Name of God. Focus on the Name of God. In Luke 11, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So they wanted to learn to pray. Thus was coined a phrase, the School of Prayer, by Andrew Murray in a book that he wrote back in the 1800s. And so we often call prayer as a school that we go into, and you spend your life in that school learning how to pray. And it's a good thing. Get in it and don't ever get out of it. And you can learn more and more and more and more and more about prayer. And so he begins teaching them. Their request is, Lord, teach us to pray. They never asked him to teach him anything else. They never said, Lord, teach us to be soul winners, or Lord, teach us to be preachers, or teach us anything, but Lord, teach us to pray. Because that was something about his example, that they just said, we don't have that. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say. Now here was our first lesson. We're up to the third lesson tonight. Let me review. The first lesson in the School of Prayer is the two words, Our Father. And our lesson number one was entitled, Two Words into the School of Prayer. And we talked about the great difficulty some people have just getting past the first two words. I hear some of you, God bless you, but I hear some of you sometimes praying and you're always saying, Dear Lord, or Dear God, or God, or something like that. And some of you, I've never yet heard you say out of your mouth, Dear Father. Dear Father. And I don't know, maybe you can't. But you need to realize that the first two words into the School of Prayer is Our Father. And you've got to get to the point in your prayer life where the main thing about prayer is spending time with the Father. It's not about getting money or getting healing or anything like that. It's about spending time with your Father. And I'm thankful to have had a father like I did, so that my human perception of a father helped me and did not hinder me from my spiritual perception of a father. Now maybe you have not had a good father or didn't have a father at all. Maybe your father died or deserted you or divorced your mom and left you, and maybe your father has been the worst thing that's ever been in your life. You have got to overcome that. Now the way you overcome that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The key verse in our first lesson was Galatians 4 and verse 6, where it says this, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And now that you're sons, that means now that you're born again, now that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have become a child of God, the Spirit of God has come into your hearts crying, Abba, Father. And we saw the word Abba, the phrase Abba, Father, only appears three times in the Bible. It was first quoted by Jesus in Mark 14, Abba, Father. And it talks about Abba, Father in Romans 8 and verse 15, and how that's something that we have a right to because we have been adopted into God's family. And now Jesus says here, listen, the same Spirit I have towards my Father. I forgot the numbers already, but I think Jesus called him my Father on 62 occasions, or 60 occasions. And I documented over 70 times where Jesus called God Father. How did he address God, this great man of prayer, Jesus Christ? How did he address God? He always started out, Father, 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 Father. And that Spirit he had, he now has sent into our hearts. And so you need to let God be your Father. You need to let God be your father, or you never get past the first two words in the school of prayer. You've got to know God as your father. And then we got to lesson number two, and that was entitled The Child-Father Relationship and Prayer. The Child-Father Relationship in Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, and it denotes the Father, the fact that He's our Father and we are His children. And we talked about the necessity of having a good child-father relationship. Again, it might be something you never experienced growing up because you didn't have a dad. But we talked about the things that we have to do as sons of God and daughters of God in that lesson to please the Father. To please the Father. You don't just, when you have an earthly father, you don't just ask Him for things. You spend time with Him. You love Him. You listen to Him. You learn from Him. And we went through a whole bunch of things in that lesson about the father-child relationship. And only one of them is you ask Him for things. Yet some people, times people, the only time they talk to God is when they have to ask Him something. And no, we ought to sit and listen to Him first and learn from Him first. And then try to obey His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And I again use Jesus as the example in lesson two. And what was His example? He said, I do always those things that please the Father. And how did that affect His prayer life? He said these words. He says, the Father always hears me. Because I always please the Father always hears me. And the verse that I used as the main verse for that lesson was 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. See, if we don't keep His commands, we don't do what's pleasing in His sight, or at least try, then we really don't have a relationship to Him. Now, He may give us what we ask for just because He's merciful. But He will give us what we ask for if He sees us trying to keep His commandments and trying to bring Him pleasure. Now, let's go back to our text and let's look at lesson three. The next thing He says, our Father which art in heaven, that's as far as we've gotten. Now notice the third lesson, hallowed be thy name. Now what does this mean? Hallowed be thy name. And I want to talk tonight on lesson three entitled Focus on the Name of God. That word hallowed is only translated into the word hallowed twice right here and in Matthew's account of the same prayer in Matthew 6. Hallowed be thy name, hallowed be thy name. It comes from a word hagiazo, a Greek word which is usually and almost always translated into the word sanctify. In fact, 26 times the word is translated sanctify. And two times, hallowed. This means, when it says, hallowed be thy name, that means that you and I need to sanctify the name of God. We need to sanctify the name of God in our lives so we can identify with Him as our Father, first, so we can work on the child-father relationship, second. But then we find everything we need in God. We find everything we need in the Father. Hallowed be thy name means sanctified be thy name. We sanctify the name of God in our lives. It is that name that is above every name, and it is that name whereby we find all sufficiency for every single need that we have. And so when He says here, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, He's saying, focus on the name of the Father. Focus on the name of the Father. And this should be a lifelong study, and I'll just give you a glimpse of what it means when we get to the sheet here in a minute. But hallowed be thy name. We have to understand tonight that in the name of the Father, in the name of God, or if you want to say it, in the names of God, you'll find every need met. Every need met. He wants us to start our prayer life by looking to the Father as our all-sufficiency. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 5. It says this, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of whom? God. We cannot rely on human beings. We cannot rely on ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. This word sufficiency means that God the Father has the ability and the competency to do anything and to fulfill every need. It says He is our all-sufficiency here, and it's a great verse. Maybe we want to commit it to memory. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. See, this is where people get in fault. I remember it was brought out very well by, I think, Brother Fisher or Brother Jenkins at the last marriage conference in Grand Island, how some people, one of the biggest faults in their marriage is that a wife is expecting her husband to meet all of her needs. Marriage was never designed by God to be that way. Or a wife is expecting her husband to meet all of her needs, and they become disenchanted with each other. They begin to think, my husband's failing me, or my wife is failing me, and so I've got to get a new wife who is going to meet all of my needs. Or I've got to get a new husband who's going to meet all of my needs. Marriage is never designed to be that way. A husband needs to look to the Heavenly Father. There have been many, many single people down through the years that have proven that God is all they need, both men and women, and have found Him sufficient in all things. And so this verse here is very important. It sheds light on how we need to focus then on the Father and sanctify the name of the Father. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. So you do not have enough inside of you to suffice or to satisfy yourself. No pastor can be sufficient for you. No wife, no husband can be sufficient for you. Your sufficiency must be of God. And in verse number 5, go to another verse, 2 Corinthians 9 now, a couple chapters back, in verse 8. Second sufficiency, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Notice that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So notice the ability of God. Hallowed be thy name. This is a great verse that hallows the name of God, that sanctifies the name of God. Notice, look what it does for God here. Verse 8, and God is able. God is able to do what? To make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So God is our sufficiency. And this word sufficiency here in verse 8 is different than the word sufficiency in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. That word meant sufficiency or the ability and competency to do anything and to fulfill every need. This word sufficiency means a perfect condition in life in which no aid or support is needed. Now, God can do that. And we don't believe it. I mean, some people say, I can't live without my wife. Yes, you can, if God's word is true. I can't live without my husband. Yes, you can, if God's word is true. I can't live without the pastor. Yes, you can, if God's word is true. See, we just don't know Him well enough. We just don't know Him well enough. And we have become much too humanistic in our thinking. Running to the doctor, running to the psychologist, running to the psychiatrist, running to the counselor, running to the medicine cabinet, and running to help books, and this Christian author, and that Christian author, and this Christian author, and that Christian author, and running to music every day to get our fix, and so on and so forth. We have become a people of reliance on human beings and human means. And we greatly struggle believing God is able to be the one that can bring about a perfect condition in life in which no aid or support is needed from any other source. And yet, this is it. So, we're not going to get far in the school of prayer if we don't, when we get into that secret place of prayer, realize that we are now approaching a Father who is sufficient for all of our needs. And His sufficiency is found in His names that He has revealed Himself to us. When we don't believe God is sufficient, then we are questioning His names. We're saying, you know, God, when You named Yourself that, I don't believe it. We ought not to do that. So God's name, as we hallow the name of God, as we sanctify the name of God in our lives, we have seen so far that God's name gives us sufficiency, gives us support, and then in Proverbs 18 and verse 10, it gives us safety. Sufficiency, support, and safety. This is a verse that's been made pretty well known, at least in our church, by evangelist Reuben Ewer. It says in Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Again, it's hard to comprehend this verse unless you go back in time to when they used to build towers to protect themselves. The higher the tower they were, they built, the safer they could be when they got to the top of the tower. Because they didn't have airplanes and bombers and so on and so forth that could blow up any tower. And so they made towers as high as they could so that rocks being thrust at them by catapults or arrows being shot at them by bow or spears being thrown at them by humans could not reach the top. And that's what this verse is saying here. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and this word strong tower literally means inaccessibly high. Inaccessibly high. The name of the Lord is inaccessibly high. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And in other words, it is not possible for devils or the devil or demons or humans to be able to get at the person who has run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. So our sufficiency, our support, and our safety is in the name of God. And so we need to know how to hallow the name of God. How do we sanctify the name of God? And I'm going to get to some practical things right now in case you're still... in just a moment here, in case you're just maybe still a little confused. It means focus on the name of God. Learn the names of God, what they mean, and then bring them into your prayer life. Bring them into your prayer life. Now, let's get practical. Let me show you a story where a lady did that. Turn to Genesis 16. Genesis 16, and the name of the lady is Hagar. I want you to notice in this story how she hallows the name of God. She sanctifies the name of God in her life and how it gets her through a very, very uncomfortable, unpleasant situation. She's becoming basically here a single mother with a son named Ishmael. She's been driven out of her home. She's out in the wilderness basically with nothing more than a let's read the story. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, verse 1, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, in other words, she was very hard, very harsh, on this Egyptian handmaid named Hagar, she fled from her face. In other words, Hagar was so harsh, and this lady was so brutal to her, Sarai, that Hagar fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he'll be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her. Now notice, she has a name for God here. Thou, Lord, seest me. If you or I were reading Hebrew right now, we would read the words Jehovah Ro'ai. Jehovah Ro'ai. That's what we would be reading right here. But I want you to notice that she sanctifies the name of the Lord, and the name of the Lord satisfies that particular situation that she is in. And she, Hagar, verse 13, called the Lord that spake unto her, Thou, God, seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the name was called Beer Lehi, and then notice Roi. Roi. Thou, Lord, seest me. Now let's get practical. Let's say you're going through a situation in your life where you are being oppressed, or somebody is dealing very harshly with you. I think of a couple of three men that I pray for every day who are in prison here in America for different things, and how oppressive it must be for them to be in prison. And maybe it's oppressive at your home. Maybe it's oppressive the way a mate is treating you, or the way your children are mistreating you, or the way your parents are mistreating you, or somebody at work or something is incorrigible or something, and you are just in a situation where somebody is dealing hardly with you, and they're very harsh and so on. There is a name. God has a name. Thou, Lord, seest me. You may be wondering. You may be wondering, God, do you even see this happening to me? Why do I have to? What's this have to do with me? Look, in the long run of life, you'll understand eventually that all adversity is good. All adversity does some good for you, even though it may be very, very uncomfortable at the time. All adversity does us good. And you can lift this story out of the pages of the Bible into your secret place of prayer, and you can get down and say, Oh, Lord, I have to go to work today, and it's so difficult. This boss is so oppressive, Lord, to work for, but Thou, Lord, seest me. What have you just done? You've hallowed the name of God. You've sanctified the name of God in your life. You have made it practical. All these names that he gave us, and you have a list here before you that you can study on your own. I'm going to go through a few of them. All these names, God reveals them to the human race is so that we can then lift them from the Bible, take them into our secret place of prayer, and whatever the situation is, find a name of God that fits that situation and pray that name. That's what it means when the Lord said, pray, hallowed be thy name. Sanctified is thy name. I find, Father, in your name all the sufficiency, all the support, and all the safety that I need. You see me when I go to work. You see me in that oppressive situation. And you will help me, and I will submit myself as Hagar did in that situation. And as you said, you would bless her and make her a large nation, and you did. So what's that tell us? She must have made it through this situation. She must have got through it, didn't she? I have a wonderful book I bought years ago. In fact, I bought the whole set by Herbert Lockyer. This whole book, and there's no way to give you a whole message on this. This is how thick the book is. The title of this book is All the Divine Names and Titles in the Bible. Just fascinating. All the names. And he goes into the Hebrew names, which don't appear a lot of them in our King James Bible. But as you go through these names, one by one, and some of them are on your list, some of them aren't. But the first name you come to is Elohim. Used over 3,000 times in the Bible. It means plurality and unity. What's that? The Trinity. Trinity. And four words into the Bible, we learn he's Elohim. He is God who exists eternally in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. You can spend the rest of your life studying the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and their different roles in helping you as an individual. He reveals himself to us as Elohim. Then the next name you come to is Allah. E-L-A-H. It means the adorable one. The adorable one. And then there's El Elyon, the third one. God Most High. He's the Most High God. There is no other God above Him. And so He's the Most High. You can apply that to your life. The fourth one He reveals to us, El Roi. We just went over that. Jehovah Roi or El Roi, the Lord that seeth me. The next one, El Elohi Israel, Genesis 33:20. This was when Jacob wrestled with the angel, and the angel said, you are no longer going to be called Jacob, but your name shall be called Israel. Now, this is before the nation of Israel, and the name El Elohi Israel is given. So when we learn that name, El Elohi Israel, it means the God of Israel. That means the God of Jacob, the individual. Not so much the nation, although he was the God of the nation Israel. What can I do with that? I can say he's the God of art. He's the God of me as an individual. He is my God. El Olam, the God of eternity. The one that has neither beginning of days nor end of days. El Shaddai, the Almighty. All-sufficient one. The one who satisfies and pleases everyone that comes to him. God can satisfy. Adonai, Jehovah our ruler, that means Lord. Yah, J-A-H, the independent one. Jehovah, the eternal, ever-loving one. Boy, that's a good name. Did you ever wake up someday wondering if God loves you? When you get to that part, hallowed be thy name, sanctify the name of God in your life and say, Father, your name is Jehovah, which means the ever-loving one. I rest in your name. I rest in your name. You love me whether I feel like it or not, whether I can convince myself of it or not. You love me. The name of God, Jehovah. That's what it means. Jehovah Elohim, the majestic, omnipotent God. Jehovah Hosinu, the Lord our maker. We didn't evolve. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. There's a name we ought to take into our prayer class. It comes from the story of Abram and taking his son Isaac up on Mount Moriah after a 3 days journey to sacrifice him. And he knew that through Isaac his seed would be called, but Isaac wasn't even married, let alone having kids. And now God tells him to kill him on Mount Moriah. And so he straps him up on the altar there, and he lifts up his knife, and he's ready to slit his own son's throat. And And the Lord says, stop. I know that you fear God because you haven't even withheld your son from me. And there was a ram caught in a thicket. And the Lord said, go take that ram over there and sacrifice him instead of your son. And before Abram ever got there, he pronounced his faith in God. When his son said, where's the sacrifice? He said, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. And so when you need miracles of provision, the name of God ought to be sanctified in your life. You ought not to say, man, I'm going to have to use the credit card. I'm going to have to borrow money. I'm going to have to do this. No, why not go to Jehovah Jireh first? And say, Lord, this is a legitimate need. And as far as I know, I have been trying to live within the boundaries of your laws concerning giving. I have been honoring you and tithes and offerings and helping missionaries and giving people alms and doing everything. And Lord, thou art Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And this is a legitimate need I have. Lord, I ask you to meet this need. And see, what you've done there is you've hallowed the name of God. When we say things like, well, how can God help? You haven't hallowed the name of God. You've blasphemed it. I don't see how God can do it. Okay? We got to hallow. God wants us, Jesus wants us to hallow the name of God, not blaspheme it. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our physician. The Lord our physician. We ought to run to the Lord first. For whatever type of sickness, I was reading in Luke this morning about, it says, and Jesus healed all their diseases. And many people today, even people in our church, have physical diseases, emotional maladies, mental maladies. And I believe there's a lot of people living with these that Jehovah Rapha wants to deliver you from them, but you've never hallowed his name in that area of your life. You've never sanctified his name in that area of your life. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, the one we fight under, our deliverer. Many people today have a particular sin or temptation that they are weak to, and they can never get victory over it, or a certain flaw in character or a habit or addiction or something like that. And they try to fight it and fight it and fight it and fight it out on their own. But in Bible days, they always fought under a banner. And they never moved until the banner went forward. And I know we don't understand that, but that's the name of our God, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, the one we fight under. So when we have those addictions and those sins and those temptations, we ought to go to God and say, Father, thou art Jehovah Nissi. You are the Lord my banner. You are the Lord my deliverer. You are greater than this. Help me. My trust is in you with this. See, you've sanctified the name. Hallowed be thy name. And on the book goes. Our time's almost up here. Jehovah Makadosh, the Lord doth sanctify. And maybe you're trying to just get away from the pull of the world and the pull of the flesh and the pull of the devil, and it's so hard. You say, the world's just got its grip on me, and I just can't pull away, or the flesh has its grip on me, or the devil just seems to tempt me and just has a grip, and I know I'm supposed to be sanctified. I know God has a work for me to do. I know he has a will for me to accomplish, and I don't want to miss it, But I go weeks and months and sometimes years without really doing God's will, and I need to be sanctified. I need help being set apart unto God. Well, his name is Jehovah Makadosh, the Lord that does sanctify. We need to run into that name and say, Lord, I've tried to sanctify myself. I've tried to resist the world, and I've tried to resist the devil, and I've tried to resist the flesh long enough, and it seems like I'm getting more worldly as the world gets farther and farther away from God. Lord, can you help me? And he says, sure I can. He says, my name's the Lord that sanctify. Jehovah Makadosh. And so we say, oh, Jehovah Makadosh, in our prayer life. And I'm not saying you got to know these Hebrew names. But I believe when Jesus said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," or "I sanctify your name, I lift up your name above every name, and in your name I find all of the help that I need." So I've given you a slip there to take home, just to get familiar with some of the names of God. And let me give you one last one, Jehovah Rohi. Not Roi, like Hagar said, "The Lord seeth me," but Jehovah Rohi, "The Lord my shepherd." The Lord my shepherd. Do you need direction? Do you need wisdom? Are you at a point where you don't know what to do? This is where you get on your knees and say, "Father, you're Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Would you help me?" And Lockyer has a fascinating, and I wish I had time to develop this, but and no, you can't borrow the book, because I've given out some of these and have never gotten them back. And but he goes through, it's amazing, he goes through the 23rd Psalm. You all know the 23rd Psalm. And all the different names of God that are found in the 23rd Psalm. It's just amazing. Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd," that's Jehovah Rohi. "I shall not want," that's Jehovah Jireh. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." That's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. I didn't talk about that one tonight. But do you need peace? Are you filled with anxieties, cares, worries, fretting? The Lord our peace. "He restoreth my soul," Jehovah Rofika. Again, another name I didn't get over, but get to tonight. The Lord who restores us. "He leadeth me in the name paths of righteousness for his name's sake," Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies," Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. And he just goes right down through the psalm. And it's all about the names of God. It's all about the names of God. Amazing. Just amazing. We need to know the names of God. And so, you can't really be a man or a woman of prayer if you don't study the Bible. If you don't study the Bible. And if you don't look into the Bible and see, okay, what's God's name, or what's God's title here, or what did God do in this story, and then lift it into the secret place of your prayer life and say, "Now, God, I pray you do the same thing for me. Pray you do the same thing for me." So the third lesson is focus on the names of God. Focus on the names of God when you go to prayer, whatever season you're in. And Lord, if you're here tonight, and you say, "I need to be saved," then God's name is Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And you need to come and realize you have no righteousness of your own, but the Lord is our righteousness. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll clothe you in that righteousness. All right? So there's a lot of other ones there studying. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you, oh Lord. I want to pray that you'd help us all to know you, first of all, as our Father, not some cold, hard dictator or even a benevolent dictator, but rather as Abba, Father. May we accept the spirit of your Son that comes screaming and crying into our hearts, saying, "Call him Abba, Father," like I do, like I did. Call him Abba, Father. And Lord, I pray that we would have that child-father relationship where we would learn from the Father and listen to the Father and please the Father and obey the Father. And then we can ask the Father. And then, Lord, we think of your names. Oh, my, how we've just scratched the surface. And that in your names you reveal to us who you are and all you can do. If somebody needs healing tonight, may they run into the name of Jehovah Rophi in their secret place of prayer and say, oh, Jehovah Rophi, heal my mind, heal my emotions, heal my body. Lord, if we need peace, Jehovah Shalom. If we need victory over some temptation or sin, Jehovah Nissi. Lord, if we wonder if nobody shakes our hand at church, nobody talks to us, nobody even sees us, Thou, Lord, seest us. Lord, teach us the names of God the Father, and that we might sanctify them and hallow them and lift them up in our prayer time. In Jesus' name, amen.